I don't know about you, but when I see someone holding a cardboard sign on the side of the street, I feel bad for them. But I tend to look away. I look away so that I don't have to give them money. Whether it's a fear of them taking that money and using it for abusive means, such as drugs or alcohol. Whether it's a lack of money in my pocket, or just the fear that they will come back and ask for more. It is easy to ignore them, act like they don't exist, especially when I'm getting on the highway and getting off the highway. And the longer I've been driving, the easier it is to ignore these people. My car allows me to act like I'm in a bubble. And many times, I don't even read the sign because I'm suspicious of what that message is saying. Are they trying to deceive me with that cardboard sign? But this past weekend, after church, I went to an ordination in Jacksonville for a classmate of mine. And on our way back, we stopped to have dinner with a friend from high school at the Sweet Tomatoes at 275 in Del Mabry in Tampa. In the parking lot was a man with a cardboard sign. And even though I couldn't see what his sign said, I could see the vague outline of that cardboard sign in his hands. And since I saw the sign, it was easy to ignore the man. So I said goodbye to my friend, and we began to climb into our car. And my wife pointed out that there's something different about this man. What was different about this man were the individuals sitting right next to him. There was a woman, a boy, and two small girls holding on to their stuffed animals. In fact, I didn't even notice them until Jackie pointed out the children. It's funny, and funny's not the right word, but it's crazy the things we can miss until someone points it out to us. So I grabbed my money, and I approached the father, and I asked him, what happened? And his response was, he and his family need a place to stay tonight, and they're just looking for some money for a hotel. So I gave him the money, and this is probably something that hasn't happened in a long time, or actually has never happened again. In response, he gave me a hug. So I'm in the Sweet Tomato parking lot getting a hug from a stranger who's holding back tears. But as soon as those tears are being held back, I could see his kids jump up. They jumped up in excitement because they no longer had to sleep on the street that night. And in that moment, I realized that of all the things I've done this week, that was the most important. I almost missed it if it weren't for my wife pointing it out to me. The sign he held was a cry out for help, a cry that I almost ignored, a cry that is actually feels pretty easy to ignore. In today's gospel lesson, there is a cry. In the passage today, Jesus is walking on that long, dusty path when a Canaanite woman comes out and cries for help. At first, he seems to ignore her, but she continues to cry. And finally, he states probably one of the most uncomfortable pieces of scripture. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. A dog being a common ancient derogatory phrase for someone outside of the Jewish community. And instead of responding with anger, she points out that even dogs are fed from the scraps of the master's table. But as uncomfortable as this passage is, it says something about God's love for others and God's abundance. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to the Israelites, that God will bring them to salvation. And God's abundance is so great that the promise and nourishment will overflow to all. God is not limited to caring for just a small group of people. a reality reinforced in our Isaiah passage today. Rather, the Jewish covenant is just the beginning of the abundance of life shared by God. And from that promise, salvation flows to all people. A promise fully extended at the end of Matthew with the Great Commission, where Christ sends his disciples to all nations. This passage is a turning point in the book of Matthew, when the promise begins to be extended outwards. After this story, Jesus' ministry will begin to include more non-Jews. This passage is a point in the Gospel of Matthew where one can begin to see the full scale of Jesus' ministry for humanity. This past week, we have seen on our national news focus on hate groups like neo-Nazis and the KKK. People who promote an agenda that states that the skin color of an individual matters, and that if you're not the right color, you're somehow inferior to others. Groups that have terrorized, groups that have claimed Christianity as their own, groups that argue that the cries of others should be ignored. A claim that Scripture rebukes. But as the Scripture points out, there is only one human race. And God loves us all, no matter what we look like. A point best summed up in an old Sunday school song, Jesus loves all the children of the world. And if you're like me, that has somehow been ingrained in my head that I can actually pull that song out faster than I can pull out all the other scripture verses I can pull that would counter that. And I won't sing it for you because I'll save you guys that today. But part of being a disciple is following the example of Christ, as uncomfortable as it may make us feel. We are called to hear the cries of others, listen to them, and to respond to those weeping as Christ responds to us. Christ continues to hear this woman and listen to her. And by listening to her, we get an insight into the kingdom of God, a kingdom that expands out, a kingdom that hears others. And over the past few days, we have been bombarded with a lot of conversation, particularly about Confederate statues, whether we keep them or we tear them down. And with 24 hours news coverage, social media like Facebook, and just the internet in general, it is easy to be swamped with information, but also be swamped with opinions. And it is easy to experience this overload, and then in response become resistant to that coverage. Like I was resistant to that man holding that cardboard sign. But we have to remember, there are many people in our communities that are crying out in need, who are crying out like that Canaanite woman. For some people, those statues may be signs of their heritage. But we also have to remember, for others, it's a symbol of oppression. It's a symbol that their ancestors were kept in chains, brought over to this country against their will. And I will be the first to admit, conversations about race can be uncomfortable. But as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we are called to a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of repairing the divide between humanity and God. And part of that reconciliation is accepting who Christ is calling us to be, and reconciling with our neighbors. A reconciliation that requires listening to the cries of our neighbors, because listening allows us to understand how to heal the wounds of others. And as a result, we can finally begin to live in fellowship with each other, in fellowship as one human race, one people gathered around the table of God. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole church, or the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Unite us, O God, so that all who worship receive assurance and nourishment by faith. Rescue those who suffer from religious persecution. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Teach us, O God, so that the holy mountains and peaceful valleys of your good creation can be restored to the health you intend. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Empower us, O God, to advocate for those on the margins. Open the hearts of leaders in every nation to serve those who are most vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy,
hear us, O God.
Rouse us, O God, to praise you with gladness. We give thanks for musicians, worship leaders, intercessors, those who prepare the communion table, and all who make worship possible. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of justice, we give thanks for just courts, judges, police officers, attorneys, and all who work in the justice system. Protect those who run into danger to protect others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Equip us, O God, with your love for our brothers and sisters. Heal the sick, comfort the grieving, feed the hungry, and calm those in distress, especially the families and friends of Officer Matthew Baxter and Sam Howard, the Lyons family on the death of Carol's sister, and of course those we now name on our hearts and on our lips. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands we place all our prayers, spoken and unspoken, trusting in your mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to invite our new members up for, and you all to join me on page 199. And we'll start with that number 12, if you're curious about where I'm starting. And if you guys could, of course, help Jackie and Joe respond with an affirmation of faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ received you and made you members of his church. And the community of God's people, you have learned from his word God's loving purpose for you and all creation. You have been nourished at his table and called to be witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we are baptized. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises?
I do.
Do we believe in God the Father?
I believe
in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Jackie and Joe, you have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people,
to hear his holy word and share his supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all, following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. And I ask God's help and guide me. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, through the water and the Spirit, you have made these women your own. You have forgave them all their sins and brought them to newness of life. Continue to strengthen them with the Holy Spirit and daily increase in them your gifts of grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, we rejoice in receiving these members of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church into our gospel into our gospel fellowship. You guys can clap. I know I'm jumping around a little bit today, but I think it's appropriate. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us rejoice and share that peace today.
Faithful, so to thee. Merciful Father,
we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offers himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord. Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy in your eternal reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Through Abraham, you promised to bless all nations. You rescued Israel, your chosen people. Through the prophets, you renewed your promise. And at this end of all the ages, you sent your Son, who in words and deeds proclaimed your kingdom and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. And the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore, gracious Father, with this bread and cup, we remember the life our Lord offered for us. And believing the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming and power to share with us the great and promised feast.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus. Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord and of his resurrection, that we, who receive the Lord's body and blood, may live to the praise of your glory and receive our inheritance with all your saints in light.
Amen. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit. Join our prayers with those of your servants of every time and every place, and unite them with the ceaseless petition of our great high priest until he comes as victorious Lord of all. Jesus Christ gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You all may be seated. Here at Paradise Lutheran Church, we believe that communion is a gift from God. And since it is a gift from God, we extend it to all people. And we will do communion through intinction. I will give the bread, and then Sharon will have the wine. The darker colored one is actually wine. The clearer, lighter color one is actually grape juice. So if you have a preference, keep that in mind, that the darker one is wine, the lighter one is grape juice. But all are welcome at the Lord's table. Body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ.
Body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
The body of Christ.
The blood of Christ
given
shed for you.
Amen. The body of Christ.
The blood
given
of Christ
for you.
Shed for you.
The body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ.
The blood of
given
Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ.
The blood
given
of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
The body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ shed for you.